Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fans of the Pro on this gorgeous Friday, November 22nd. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. A little later in the show, we'll talk all things really NFL with the Saints being off. Steve Wyche, chief national reporter for the NFL Network, and Gary Smith at the 5 o'clock hour. Tulane beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans advocate, also publisher of The Wave Report. Man, we've got, it feels like it's winding down, but there's a ton of meaningful college football remaining. And so I want to be consistent. And so we only have one person on the injury report, and that's Deuce. He had a sore neck last week, and the sore neck is still here, but he is a go. He's not questionable. He's not doubtful. He's going.
It's been 2 weeks.
I know, but you weren't on the list. I didn't have you on the list last week because I didn't know.
You didn't know, but I was.
I got to the game.
Yeah, I was fighting through it though. I was fighting through it. But I've seen the chiropractor. You know, you talk about the masseuse being able to try to work it out, and hey, we're working it out. That's how I end up. And but it's go time. So it's a great. So Mike, I got a question for you. Right now is a lot better than probably what it was at 6:30 this morning, correct? Or would you have called 6:30 this morning
what pleasant, is better?
Pleasant as well.
Weather-wise, you mean?
Yes, weather-wise.
I would have said 6:30 is probably a little chillier. Mm-hmm. And I feel today, I think it was 62 when I got out of my car, so I got 63. So I feel like right now is better.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's true about irrespective of the weather. 6:30 in the morning versus 4 in the afternoon. I'm going 4 in the afternoon.
I mean, what is the Marine slogan? We do more before.
I got the Army.
The Army?
More before 8 o'clock, something like that. Then
it's probably earlier than that.
Earlier than that. But that, didn't, why, that isn't why you asked the question. Why'd you ask the question?
No, that was right. I was just trying to figure out. I mean, because it was a little chilly.
It was
now,
chilly.
Now outside now, probably beautiful. For the last, since 11, you'll take that all day. You'll take that all day.
Oh, man.
Now I know you got a chance to watch it. Did you see the Cleveland game?
Yes.
Now, can
yes,
you just,
I did.
At one point, it was 29 degrees.
Yeah.
And you hear what I said, at one point.
Right.
I don't know if it stayed 29 degrees the whole time, but we had 29 degrees as well when we played there.
Mm-hmm.
And ours looked a little bit different as far as their weather and what stuck.
Right. Because it was 15 below, feels like. That's why it took a while for that snow to stick, because I'm watching it and I'm going, it was like 31, 30, 29, and then finally I flipped back and it was sticking.
It was sticking.
And
to
it
the
was
ground.
A different. And so if anybody, you know, if you live in Cleveland, it's lake effect snow. Oh, they were even called for it, right?
Well, but no, they figured it would come.
And I was
they knew that at some point during the game that snow would come, because I think it started fine. You know, it started out as just a cold, great football night, and I don't know if that's great, but you know, we'll go with that. For the fans watching at home, of course. But I mean, it just, the bottom dropped, and so the Cleveland Browns, two-win team, end up beating, I don't know the tiebreak rules, but Pittsburgh and Baltimore are up there. But I mean, I think that was a
Cleveland's got three wins, and they've beaten Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
And Baltimore.
That's it.
The division leaders.
Right.
Go figure.
It is. It's a tough game to figure. And when we were flipping around last night, my wife and my daughter were there, and they're like, oh, snow. And I was 31 degrees. I go, it was 31. It was 40 degrees colder when we were there. 40, which is tough to look at when you're watching.
Well, you know
snow.
Where my mind jumped to? New York, Green Bay. I was like, man, I hope.
I see it. I thought about that Green Bay trip a little bit. December 23rd, Monday night. You just don't know, right? There's a lot of unknowns between now and December 23rd.
Well, December the 8th, there's a lot of unknown. Yeah,
New York, you're right. So here's this is. I hope this isn't a bad question. Is Cleveland, are they going to, did last night, did they go, Jameis is our guy? I'm not pro Jameis, I'm not anti Jameis. I'm just wondering if that, they go, that touchdown, I go, are they going to buy in and go, he's our guy?
What makes me say no is that guaranteed contract that sits over on injured reserve. Now, you can say you're going to take your time and let him come back 100% heal and Jameis end up being your guy from that standpoint. But until that is gone, that's your guy. Whether you want to commit to it short term or whatever, however many other
you're
years.
You're riding that car till there's not a tire left on it.
There's nothing you can do. Now, it was interesting. One team, and it was probably similar to the Derek Carr situation with the Raiders. The New York Giants released, you know, it started out as far as benching Daniel Jones, but he and Mara, the owner, had a conversation, and they didn't want him to, I guess, be embarrassed of the situation. You kind of created the situation, New York, but they released Daniel Jones, and a lot of it, why he even got benched in the first place, was because of the injury guarantee that's in his contract. So over the next, seven games or however many they play, if he got hurt, his contract basically is going to be guaranteed. Now, they will still owe him – I don't think they owe him any more money, so to speak. There's some dead cap that's available. The only thing, if a team – so he's subject to waivers. He's subject to waivers. And my understanding, if a team picks him up, that team would be responsible for the $14 million that he is guaranteed next year.
The whole thing was handled kind of weirdly. They benched him, and then he put him out there in the media.
Yeah.
He's like saying goodbye, and I'm like, wait, we just benched you, and then they went, you know what? I guess we're just gonna cut him, right? And it was they cut him today.
I know
it. He was in front of the media. I'm like, what's going on?
And here's the thing: he was the number three, so they were saying we're benching you, but we're moving on. We're not benching you to say, hey, we're gonna let you clear your head and you'll be back next year. No, we're benching you. We're basically moving on. And so it was a pure situation where you benched him because you didn't want him to get hurt and you didn't want to be responsible for next year's cap and salary.
And it's important because, first off, we play them.
Correct.
We need them to beat the Falcons somehow.
Good luck.
We need the Falcons to lose a ton.
Yeah,
and so
I don't even want to think about that little scenario down there. Like, oh, there's hope. Look, man, just win a game.
But he's 27. He kind of reminds me of Sam
Darnold.
That they're both. You know what I mean?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. If you talk, I think he's 26 or am I or 27 on that age, and I go, that guy's been around 20 years,
yeah.
And they're young. Right, and
but
so
you come into some bad situations. You expect it to come in and be the same.
New York stuff, baby. Both of them.
New York is definitely tough, and just the scrutiny that you're going to get as a quarterback and not playing well. You probably shouldn't have played as early as you did, and now you're in the situation that you're in. And so it'll be intriguing where he chooses, because I don't think any team is going to pick that salary up, because if you do, you, like I said, you're responsible automatically for $14 million. It'll be interesting to see where he chooses to go.
Sam Darnold, or Daniel Jones, is 8 days older than Sam Darnold.
Oh, wow.
Both of them are 27, one born early June, one born in late May, 1997. Eight days separate.
That is unbelievable.
That is hard to kind of believe. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, it's there's, and when I say there's a lot of football left, there's, we have conference championship games undecided. At some point today, we got to talk about the Ole Miss situation.
Well, you got the Ole Miss one. Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Texas, Georgia, Alabama. Kind of a lot of jumbling in that area.
And here's the problem. And that this is going to get – I'm Charlie wants to take a break. Wait, no, he's saying Gators. They got to get by the Gators. But you've got here you are with two games left.
Yeah.
And you're in pretty good shape in the 12. The one thing you don't want to do if you beat Florida and then beat Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl is go into the SEC championship game, lose. That's your third loss. You go from being in to out.
To possibly out if as a loser.
And Lane Kiffin
has
said it. And this is why whatever happens, they're going to make some changes.
Well, you're already going up, though. I mean, because now the conference championship game doesn't mean anything in a sense. Now, if you win it, you're going to get the automatic.
Right, exactly.
That's, but the loser,
he goes, it's not worth.
The loser, you're in trouble.
Lane said it's not worth the reward of the bye to be gone, right?
And that's, you're in trouble.
But there's a lot to be decided out there.
Well, Tulane, they're off this week, but I think they know that they're playing. I think it's Army that they have in the championship game. Now you got to get by Memphis next Thursday. But, I mean, Tulane, there's an outside shot now. It's a hard outside shot because Boise is hanging around.
Boise needs to lose probably a couple times.
At least once.
Yeah.
You had a little luck when was an undefeated team and got beat by Utah. I think it was BYU who got beat. And so that helped. But you need some help.
They do. That win over Navy. And the help is actually Navy Notre Dame. Navy plays Army Notre Dame.
Army Notre Dame.
Yankee Stadium on Saturday.
Yes, tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, man, my week. Yeah. Tomorrow, right? So, and then they've got another conference game. It's already doesn't matter to them. They play UTSA, not Tulane, Army, and then they play Army Navy on December 14th. Now the game doesn't impact your conference standings.
Right.
We have the whole high school stuff, a lot to be decided as you would think here where we are, we'd know who's in the SEC championship game.
We're in a late Thanksgiving year. That's what we're in.
Oh, you had to watch. You had to listen last week to understand, but we are. It's a late Thanksgiving year. Take a break. We're going to talk some college football and NFL football next with Steve Weiss, Chief National Reporter for the NFL Network. This is Fans and a Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Keep it right here, WBLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro until 6 o'clock. Pelicans tonight at 6 right here on WWAM. Of course, at 6 o'clock, you can have the Brian Kelly Show, followed by the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. That's on 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. And so I want to thank everybody, of course, the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. And so we, last Friday, had Mark Spears on, and the Pelicans were beginning the cup against Denver.
Yep.
And I said, this is going to be like a different environment. This is going to be a good way just to kind of separate yourself and get a win. And he said, you better get some gumbo. And they beat Denver. And they haven't done much since. But another cup game tonight. Another tough, tough team. They lost to Dallas in the second cup game. This is the third. Golden State comes in.
Yeah, and a point differential won't help us out how bad you got beat against Dallas. But I think you got a little bit of hope, or I hope that you have a little bit of hope tonight, because you get all three of them back. None of them played against Cleveland the other night, but you get Hawkins back, you get Trey back, and you get B.I. back. Now, Hawk has been the one that's been out the most of those three players, but B.I. missed the last game, and then Trey Murphy doesn't play back-to-back right now. So for this Pelicans team, it's an early start because it's a 6:30,
yep.
6:30, not a 7 o'clock start. But for this Pelicans team, man, that's good news. And I know the other one was CJ. He was doubtful going into it. He won't play. Hopefully Monday he's able to go. I think it's against the Pacers is who they play next. Hopefully Monday he's able to go. But, man, you're getting close with a few other guys. Now, obviously, to be able to get Zion, and I know there was a report that came out that didn't sound the best. we'll see how that goes. I think Zion is at probably 2 to 3 week mark. Originally, it was.
But you get B.I. and C.J. back.
Well, you get C.J. back and
Hawk, next week, you know.
And then the other one is point guard.
DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray. If you're able
to, he's the one who started all this.
He's the one who started game one, you know, game one of 82. If you're able to get him back within the next, let's just call it 2 weeks, I know record wise it may not be the best, but I saw Graf earlier today. I just told him, look, it's tough, and he knows it, but you just want to get in. You would love to have been seeded as a number 6 or 5. But you just want to get in and have those guys healthy. Because if you can get in and they're healthy, I like my chances.
Right. I mean, I was just teasing DeJounte.
No, I know it. Well, it's the truth.
But it was like, whoa, first game? I mean, good gosh.
The wrist injury.
Yeah.
And so you still have Herb floating out there. You still have Jose floating out there. And hopefully those guys can get well. And, you know, the young men that have Alfred Payton, the New Orleans native, he gets signed day of, and he starts, and he almost has a triple-double for you. I mean, and so the guys are out there fighting, but at the same time, at some point, you know they're overmatched. And so that's really what's been happening to him. And so to at least get, if we call it conservatively, 40 points back, tonight.
What was it before? 100 points you said they had sitting
points,
on the bench?
100 points. I don't even want to talk about the money. We're just going to talk about 100 points.
That's just
was sitting on the bench. And tonight you get at least 40 points back. That gives you a chance.
That's a start.
Now you're playing the team State? That created the you're playing won. The team that created the, I don't want to call it the today's NBA game with the three-point shot. Golden State will get 43s up. They will get 43-pointers up. That's how they play. That's who they are. And the Pelicans have not fared because I think we lost twice to them already when we were on the road trip. Now, the Pelicans have not fared well against them, but you get a chance and you get them at home.
Just like Denver. You never know. You just never know. The Pelicans have lost 9 of 10. Golden State's won 8 of their last 10. Yeah, you know, you just got to fight through. It's I almost wanted to say December because it will be very soon. November, and you've lost 9 of 10. Well, in April, you win 9 of 10, right?
Who says that this team can't go on seven-game win streaks? You know, you hit on 7 in a row. I think you feel pretty good about it. I think you feel pretty good about yourself. I mean, now you've got to be healthy to be able to do it. You need a little bit more firepower, but I think that you have some of the pieces to be able to do it.
So I'm going to transition this into back to the Saints and the Rams, which means do you want to win tickets to the next Saints home game against the L.A. Rams? That's next Sunday in Caesars Superdome. Score 2 premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. Open bar with premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square, and winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contests and enter for your chance to win tickets to the Saints' battle with L.A. from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints, and Saints Radio, WWL.
I got something for you.
Yep.
So I saw this the other day because I guess there was, I don't know if it's a shirt, a cap, or something that the Rams are releasing in a couple weeks, but they put out their four horsemen, so to speak, of the running back collection. Okay. Could you tell me who they were or who they are?
I'll go Lawrence McCutcheon.
No.
This is like the current or like
no,
the
both,
old school?
Both. I shouldn't have hollered no, though, but
that's okay.
Los Angeles Rams, and I guess St. Louis does count as well.
Marshall Faulk?
Yes.
Okay. I can't think of the big, tall guy ran.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Not hard. Man, you know I'm terrible at this.
Pony Express. What if I told you Pony Express? Does that ring a bell?
It's SMU. I know. Charlie, I feel bad. That's Eric Dickerson.
Uh-huh. Right. Pony Express.
Right.
And the other two, other two would be, I call them younger. Marshall is older, and obviously ED is older. But the other two would be younger guys. One played at the University of Georgia. Injuries kind of took his career away. Todd Gurley.
Oh, Todd Gurley. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Actually, and the other one.
I was going to say him earlier. Then
when I hollered, blurted out no, you said, wait, what is he talking about? And the other one would be the other tall running back that I thought you were mentioning. He's an NFL player rep now. He does a lot with the NFLPA. Stays in Las Vegas. I think he splits time out in L.A. Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
Steven Jackson. He's the
Dickerson
taller,
is who I was actually right off the bat. Yeah, just that tall, runs tall.
He runs tall.
Right.
He runs tall. But for me, and I don't know if it was just amount of years that one of them played, I probably would have advocated for Jerome Bettis to be included in that bunch. Now, I know everybody knows the bus from Pittsburgh, but for me, the early bus, it was L.A. And it wasn't St. Louis. It was in L.A.
So the fact that I threw out a kid that played in 1972 to 1979 for the Rams, Lawrence McCutcheon, perhaps I need a little the Rams were my team as a kid.
Really?
Now, I grew up as a Washington Redskins fan, went there, but then I got to be about like 11. Like I thought I didn't
want the uniforms.
I liked the uniforms, and I didn't. I wanted to be different
than
everybody. I don't care. So I just picked the Rams.
And the Rams.
And Lawrence McCutcheon and a lot of those guys
for whatever reason.
There's no other reason I would throw out Lawrence McCutcheon, well, I can assure you. Got to take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro. Stay right here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Well, welcome back, Fans and the Pro. Don't forget Tiger fans. It's LSU 6-4 taking on Vandy, also 6-4 tomorrow in Death Valley. Coverage starts 2 o'clock. Join Mike Dettillier and Jeff Palermo for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live from the Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Presented by MAP Construction. Always a great time. They have 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, and, you know, life's just more fun with seafood. Catch LSU's pregame and then the kickoff with Chris Blair and Jacob Hester at 6:45. Tigers against the Commodores. 9 hours of exciting LSU football coverage, again, starting at 2 o'clock on WWL, always free on the Odyssey app. And I was kind of, until we got into my Four Horsemen quiz, which I always struggle with. I'd be a D. If you were my professor, I don't think I'd pass. That's how I do on your quizzes. But I was going to the Rams, was where we started. And it's like, remember this team? You talked about this last week. This was a team 1-4. And they were, you know, like giving up for dead. They were going to have
selling.
It was like selling, you know, getting ready. You know, guys were hurt. What are we going to do? And 1-4, and they, for whatever reason, you know, who knows, their bye week came week 5. And since then, beat Las Vegas, beat Minnesota, beat Seattle, lost to Miami, beat New England to get to 5-5. They're home against Philadelphia, 8-2. On Sunday afternoon, so the Saints are going to get a 6-5 team that is really hot, or a 5-6 team that is still pretty hot in a division where you don't got to be too good.
Nope, because Seattle has struggled. I think Arizona is still leading that division. And what's interesting is with the 49ers, Brock Purdy, he's been banged up a little bit. I know he didn't practice. I think he was limited a little bit yesterday. And so the Rams, they were selling. Cooper Kupp was available. There was talk of maybe Matthew Stafford being available and some other players available. And like you talked about, one, they got the bye week that was early. Then you start to get Puka Nacua halfway healthy. You get Cooper Kupp, who had been hurt. He's feeling a little bit better. Next thing you know, you've rolled off, you know, almost, what, 4 in a row? Yep. Or at least 4 out of 5.
5 of 6, the Miami game.
5 of 6, and it's just like, no, we're not going to sell. We're right in the middle of this deal. We're good. And so, for me, with them, it starts with the quarterback. I mean, if you don't hit Matthew Stafford, and even hitting him sometimes, he's still been able to get up. With them, they probably haven't run it as well as they want to run it, and some of it is because some of their offensive linemen, hello, we know about that, have been down and been banged up, but defensively, they are flying. They are flying to the football defensively. Some of the young players, I think Verse, one of the defensive ends from Florida State, playing really, really well. So they've got some pieces over there on the defensive side of football, and obviously offensively. What you see in practice from the Saints, the motions, the movement, the bootlegs, whether it's wide zone, inside zone, whatever it is, that's what you're going to see from the game film. That's what you're going to get. That's exactly who they are. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's going to be a tough, tough test for the Saints.
And so you're right. So if you just kind of look at the NFC South and NFC West, so Arizona still leads. They're 6-4, and so they've all been through their byes. Rams, Seattle, San Francisco, all 5-5, right? So that division, good gosh, up for grabs, right? In the South, you know, Atlanta 6-5, Tampa 4-6. I mean, you know, Saints and the Cardinals 4-7, 3-7. Atlanta is like the Saints. They're off this weekend as well. So they won't be playing, but man, just a lot of teams. Now, you know, other divisions, you know, the NFC East, you're probably going to get two. The NFC North, who knows, right? Unless they start beating up on each other.
Well, that's what I was about to say. For them, they've got to at least some point start beating up on each other, you know, as far as I think the Giants, I mean, not the Giants, Chicago may be the only one that's
– one division game.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that, Minnesota, Green Bay – both of those, they've looked really, really well as far as the team, and so.
But you're right.
And then you've got the Detroit, who's the cream of the crop right now of the NFL.
But so the Detroit's 9-1, Minnesota 8-2, Green Bay 7-3. Detroit has played two division games. Minnesota 2. Packers 3, Chicago 1. So there's a lot of NFC North football to play, just like there's a lot of AFC North football to play. It's all division games almost right from here on out in that division. So, man, it's just but from the Saints standpoint, man, getting this time off, getting this time away, in some respects you could say, man, I don't know, they're playing really good football, but, you know, take this bye because you got Eric was kind of, you know, banged up.
He was banged up, and I mean, and from
was it
having injuries myself and having to come back from those type of injuries, it's the you hadn't pushed yourself to that point in practice, and then it's the amount of plays that you get, and it's the soreness. And so,
and the scar tissue. Right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
That's what it's you were fighting.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's scar tissue. I think that he will be fine. I think that he'll be able to go next week. But I think it's the scar tissue being able to break, and you know, it's a weird feeling. It's painful.
It is a big one for both teams. The Saints in 2024 week 12 bye, 2023 week 11 bye, 2022 week 14, and then they went the other way. 2021 week 6, 2020 week 6. Off this weekend, as are the Falcons. Take a break. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, here on Fans and the Pro, back after this. Welcome back, Fans and the Pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, as we take you up to news at 5 o'clock. And at 5:20, we're going to talk to Gary Smith, Tulane beat writer, Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Man, and football in Louisiana has been a little tough. But man, Tulane, you take away that loss to Oklahoma and Kansas State, man, they've just dominated.
It's been really good for Tulane, and they've kind of found their stride. And, you know, I know there's some chatter. You know, we'll talk about it a little later, but there's some chatter about Coach Summerall, his name and his staff being mentioned for some other opportunities. But we'll kind of just see how that unfolds.
Yeah.
That's what happens when
that's what happens.
That's what happens when you win.
If they don't want your coach, you got problems.
Yeah,
you're trying to get rid of your coach. If they do want your coach, you know,
it's a good thing.
It's a double-edged sword. So we'll talk more about Tulane coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, 5:20. We'll also talk a little bit about the Saints and Taysom Hill. I haven't really talked about him much, just in that impressive, impressive performance. This is Fans in the Pro. We'll be with you until 6 o'clock. Then, of course, you've got the Pelicans pregame and also the Brian Kelly show and the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Brian Kelly and the Prep Football Roundup will be on 105.3, the Pelicans pregame, and then the Golden State Warriors on 870 AM. The news is coming up next here on WWL. Well, welcome back, everyone, to Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister up until 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk a lot of Tulane coming up with Gary Smith, talking Tulane with Memphis on Thanksgiving Day. Before we get to that, we'll have a break before them, and we'll talk to Gary. Carl in Hammond is on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Carl, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. What you got for Deuce and myself?
Well, heartbreak. just wondering, LSU lost Bryce Underwood. He got flipped. Not only is hurting, he's not going to play at LSU, but also hurting my hometown where I'm from, Columbus, Ohio, because I was looking at LSU keeping him out the Big Ten, but they couldn't close the deal. And I thought, you know, it was like an even exchange because we gave you guys Joe Burrow. So you guys switch up, get him out the Big Ten for us. But now, it's done, I guess.
But Carl, you guys haven't had a lot of trouble of beating the school up north anyway, though, right?
Yeah, but before this 3-year spat where we ain't, well, really 4 years because this forfeited. They didn't even show up during the pandemic game. They pulled back because they was about to get a butt whooping. So then they regrouped themselves. But before that, we had beat them 8 straight years. So, you know, I mean, but I'm just saying, you had the top guy in the nation, but I guess Tom Brady is, you know, stepping in and he's mentoring him on, you know, what to do, filming other people's practices, deflating footballs.
That's not the problem. Carl, that wasn't the problem. You got to think bigger than Tom Brady.
Okay, what's bigger?
Who's the owner?
$10 million.
Keep going. You're headed in the right direction. Who is the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He must be a Michigan guy then.
If it's not the Clippers, it's the other. I think it's Ballmer is the Clippers owners. Yeah, Steve Ballmer is the Clippers owner, and I don't think it's Ballmer, but it is one of the. I think it's Ellison, maybe I read. But they've got two guys that Tom Brady can't touch as far as money wise. Now having Tom Brady as a mentor definitely helps, no doubt about it. The kid was 30 minutes away from campus and. Allegedly, we'll go there. They put together a nice NIL package, and we can call it a name and likeness all we want. It's pay to play. Let's not kid ourselves, but that's another conversation. I think part of it as well, not having the success that was expected at LSU this year probably didn't help. And it just gave a little doubt for Michigan to be able to come in and continue to have his ear and, you know, kind of give him the king's ransom that maybe he felt like that he deserved in the first place.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's unfortunate, but I think also, Deuce, I know it's a lot of hard feelings right now and the season ain't going well with LSU, but Brian Kelly really sort of saved LSU football, and a lot of people ain't going to think about that. But when he came in, when Coach O left, there was a lot of players leaving. It was a lot of issues. There was allegations, NCAA allegations, people, you know, the whole thing with some of the women and saying they were, you know, done wrong and everything. So that was a firestorm, and he came in, and him getting Jaden Daniels come to LSU and, you know, taking off from there, and this guy wins a Heisman, sort of put all that stuff into forgottenness. So he does deserve credit, but I really don't know how this is going to sort of, you know, be a backlash on him.
Well, it'll definitely be a backlash. I mean, you're the head coach, and so it's always going to be a backlash because, one, he had been committed for a very, very long time. And you talk about some of the other top recruits that you were able to bring in and warn right here in the New Orleans metro area, Harlan Berry, and some of the other potential guys that would have helped with that class. I mean, winning cures a lot of it, and you hadn't won enough. And I think that like I said, that just opened up the door for Michigan to kind of get themselves together. And you lose that QB prospect. But I do think that you still have some pretty good prospects on the roster as far as quarterbacks, and it'll just be intriguing what direction they decide to go at the starting quarterback position.
Carl, appreciate the phone call. Good luck tomorrow, by the way. Indiana behind Kirk Cignetti of James Madison lore will take on Ohio State.
A richer Kirk Cignetti as well.
Much richer Kirk Cignetti. We'll see how that shakes out, but best of luck. Thanks for your call. Take a break. We're going to talk Tulane football and their season coming up with Gary Smith, the beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, also publisher of The Wave Report. Fans and the Pro comes back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Well, welcome back. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister until 6 o'clock tonight, and we are ready to talk some Tulane football with Gary Smith, Tulane beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, also publisher of TheWaveReport.com. Really, since the Kansas State-Oklahoma game, Gary, welcome to the show. You're on with Deuce and myself, and then just a statement game to go to Annapolis, 35-0, to kind of secure your third straight year in the conference title game. Don't know where yet, but man, that's an impressive win to go to Annapolis the way Navy's been playing this year and shut them out.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate you giving me the time. But yeah, that you could kind of see it coming because this Tulane team is so much better than it was at the beginning of the year. John Summerall came in, coached the team in the spring, realized they had a lot of weaknesses on defense. He went out and got basically five new starters after spring practice. They'd already brought in some guys in the spring. It just took those guys some time to gel, and Tulane was not a particularly good defensive team earlier in the year. They've gotten better and better and better on that side of the ball. They're incredibly deep. And, you know, they'd almost shut out their two previous opponents, Charlotte and Temple. And then they went to Navy, and, yeah, they played their best game of the year and just completely just shackled that offense. This is now a defense that's given up 9 total points in 3 games, and their depth is off the charts. They had over 20 guys make tackles in that game. They basically are too deep at every position with guys that can make plays, and that's made this team extremely, extremely dangerous going down the stretch here.
And that's Gary, I guess that's where, you know, yeah. I think I was going to go with my question was, is that the unit that's probably playing elite at this point of a season?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, their offense is good. Certainly, Mekhi Hughes is one of the better running backs in the country. Darian Mensah was a revelation as a redshirt freshman quarterback. They've got 3 wide receivers who American Athletic Conference DBs have a hard time staying with. But the defense is the story of why this team is so good now. I mean, their leading tackler, Tyler Grubbs, he has 45 tackles for the year in 11 games. He's on pace to have the lowest number of tackles for Tulane's leading tackler since they began keeping official records of those in 1969 because they're just so dang balanced. They got Sam Howard, was a transfer from Austin Peay they brought in, a tremendous leader and a tremendous player. Leads the nation with 5 fumble recoveries, a big hitter. You put him and Tyler Grubbs back there at linebacker, and it's one of the smartest linebacker duos in the country and one of the best linebacker duos in the country. So you start there, and yet the defense is just and Greg Gasparato, the defensive coordinator, is an excellent defensive coordinator. They've rounded it. I think they have one of the better defenses in the country right now.
And so it's kind of an open weekend, but really you play on Thursday, so it's quick. But it's kind of a unique situation because. So you got, you know, you're like everybody else. You're out there. You're rooting for Army to go and beat Notre Dame, and then you're watching Boise State and Wyoming on the road, and UNLV. You got all these other factors involved that you don't control, and all you can worry about, of course, is Memphis on Thanksgiving Day. But it is kind of, I mean, from where things were earlier this year to kind of in this. You're just working your way into the conversation. You got to keep winning and then hope that you get some help, but be in the conversation.
And that's where good coaching comes into play. John Summerall, look, everything you just mentioned is natural. It would be totally natural for this team to relax a little bit going into that game against Memphis on Thanksgiving night. But John Summerall, he's going to do everything in his power not to let that happen. And I think it helps that they had a bye week earlier this year and then played really poorly against Rice. And it was a tie game early in the fourth quarter before Tulane put them away. And the players remember that. This is, like you said, this isn't a full bye week. It's a partial bye week, but that's already on their minds that they can't relax 1 second because they feel like they kind of did let down with their previous bye week. I don't really think that's going to be an issue. And yet, the Army-Navy game is interesting. It depends on your perspective who you want to win that game, because if Army wins the game, then that means that Tulane is definitely – not definitely, is most likely going to Army for the conference championship game, because it's going to be based on who is ranked higher in the college football playoff rankings that come out next Tuesday before the Tulane-Memphis game. And if both teams were to win their last conference game, then Army would be the higher-ranked team. And if Army loses to Notre Dame, then Tulane would definitely be the higher-ranked team. And if they beat Memphis, they'd essentially guarantee that they would be hosting the game. So it depends. Yeah, if you're Tulane, maybe you want to beat an Army team that's undefeated and really ranked high, or do you want to have a home game where you have the clear advantage? It'll be interesting to see who they're actually pulling for in that game.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. Is it based off of where you're ranked determining who hosts that game? And so, yes, you probably, for them to be able to host, you want Army to lose, but how do they get back into the conversation as far as being one of those at-large bids?
For the playoffs, you know, it really, there's two fronts on that. One, they're in really good position if Boise State loses a game. Now, that's a problem because Boise State, they have the best running back in the country in Ashton Gentry, and they actually lead the nation in sacks. So it may be asking a lot for Boise State to lose a game, but Boise State has not played as well. Recently, they were down 14-0 in the second quarter to San Jose State on Saturday, and San Jose State had 4th-and-1 at the 2-yard line to go up 21-0, didn't convert it. It went downhill from them there. But and it really doesn't matter. As long as Tulane wins their next two games, if Boise State loses, I think Tulane will be in the playoffs if that happens. But if you're assuming Boise State isn't going to lose, it does matter who Tulane beats and how they beat them, because the other possibility to get in is the Big 12. Right now, they have a bunch of two-loss teams. If those teams lose again, there's a real possibility that a Tulane 11-2 Tulane that just beat Memphis and Army would be ahead of the Big 12 representative. And there's no rule that the Power Four conferences get in at the top five rated conference champion. So there's really two scenarios for Tulane to get in the playoffs. One is Boise State losing if Tulane wins out, and the other is both Colorado and BYU right now have two losses, and I think Iowa State has two. If all of them lose again before the Big 12 season is over, that's another way that Tulane could get in. So that actually might be a more realistic possibility than Boise State losing at this point.
Understood. I got to ask you about the hoop squads uptown.
Yep.
So far, what are your thoughts, early in the year so far of what you've seen?
I don't really have many thoughts on them because their schedule has been so weak. I will say this, their defense is a lot more, they play with a lot more intensity and they have a lot more athletic ability on defense than they did last year. Again, you gotta judge who they played as part of this, but right now Tulane's second in the country in field goal percentage defense. Opponents are only hitting 30% of their shots against them after five games. Obviously that's going to change when the schedule toughens up, but Ron Hunter, he had to remake his whole roster pretty much after losing almost all of his key guys from last year for various reasons. He's pretty optimistic, but I'm going to wait till they start playing better competition to see where they are, because there's so many new parts. Offensively, they've looked a little sketchy in the first five games. We'll see what happens down the road.
So just, flipping back kind of to the football situation, because it's an issue. It's a good issue, and it's, if you're not playing well, you're looking at your coach. If you're playing well, somebody else is looking at your coach.
No doubt.
And so, John Sumrall, you see it every year, and it's a testament to the organization and the school. But you got to figure out a way to try and keep him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, John Sumrall checks every box. He's personable. He relates well to his players. He coaches well. He hires well. He's everything a Power Four conference school would be looking for. He's now been a head coach for 3 years, and he's yet to lose in October, November, or December as a head coach. He was 1-2 in his first 2 years at Troy, won the conference championship without losing again both years, and he was 1-2 in his first year at Tulane, and he's in position if he wins his next two to do the same thing. Yeah, I mean, look, one case Tulane can make is that everything's in place. You within the current system, you can make the college football playoff at a school like Tulane, and that was not the case until this new system with the 12 teams in the playoff. But yeah, there's definitely that concern, and the biggest concern right now is Kentucky. that's his alma mater. He was an assistant coach there. They're having a tough time. I think they've lost 5 games in a row. If Stoops is forced out there, you'd got to think that John Sumrall would be the first person that Kentucky would look after. So yeah, that obviously, if you're winning, that's the case. I think, and by the way, I think that was a huge thing Tulane did, because I think in past administrations they would not have gone after John Sumrall because they would have been worried that he would leave too quickly. And that's just, you can't think that way. You've got to bring in a coach who's going to win, who puts himself into a position where that's a possibility. And Tulane did. I'm telling you, the other candidates that were the finalists for the Tulane head coaching job, I think if any one of them had gotten it, this team might be 4-6 right now. And they got John Sumrall, and they're sitting there with a real chance to win a second conference championship in 3 years and an outside chance to make the college football playoff. It's heady times right now. And, yeah, with a little concern on top of that.
Right. So my final question is kind of that, and it's like we've waited so long to get this 12 playoffs, but it already feels like, man, they're going to tweak this thing, right? 5 automatic qualifiers,
yeah,
just 5 conference champions, highest rank, and the top 4 of those get byes. We've waited so long to get it out. We can't wait to change it.
it's a concern, but it's more concern. What would really be a concern is if the SEC or the Big and the Big Ten felt slighted, because they're the two dominant conferences right now. I'm not sure what the reaction will be. Say if the Big 12 doesn't get anybody in the playoff, the Big 12 would be furious if that happened, but I don't think it carries the same weight. The SEC and the Big 10 control everything now, but yet that is certainly a concern, and that's another factor, is will the group of 5 conferences get squeezed out of a future playoff if they change the format. They're safe for 2 years for sure, but yeah, you bring up a legitimate point there.
Well, that's an off weekend, but you're going to be working on Thanksgiving. But have a great Thanksgiving for you and your family. Keep that roll wave rolling, and then host another championship, because they've won back to back.
And just one quick thing on this: if Tulane were to make the college football playoff, I'm not kidding you, they would have a chance to win that first game. They wouldn't be easy, because they'd be on the road almost certainly playing a number 5 seed. But this Tulane team, there's no great teams in college football this year, and this Tulane team is talented enough that they can play with anybody in the country.
Right, they would not be anybody would want to play. I can assure you of that.
Nope.
Gary
Absolutely
Smith.
Not.
You bet. Appreciate your time. Tulane beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, also publisher of thewavereport.com. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the night.
Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Good stuff, as always, and fun to have, because Tulane's been a real bright spot uptown and for this, college and pro football season, though there's a lot of football to be played. Got to take a break. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro. Back after this, WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. Until 6 o'clock tonight, then it's Pelicans pregame. Pelicans in Golden State tonight. It's an early tip-off, so 6:30. So the pregame show at 6. Also at 6 o'clock will be the Brian Kelly Show, followed by the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Playoffs, of course, that'll be on 105.3. But Pelicans and Golden State tonight at 6:30. And what a time of year, right? I mean, first off, weather, just unbelievable. So end of November, we have the Battle of the Bands. First off, Thanksgiving, Thursday, late Thanksgiving. Tulane plays Thursday. Battle of the Bands, Friday.
Tulane is at 6:30 that night.
On Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving night.
Perfect. Battle of the Bands, Bayou Classic on Friday, Bayou Classic Saturday, Saints-Rams Sunday, high school football playoffs the 12th, 13th, and 14th, the R&L Carriers Bowl the 19th, could be James Madison, we're still in the air on that one, and the All-State Sugar Bowl, which is a quarterfinal this year, is January 1. That's the next, I didn't even include Saints in Washington, Saints in Las Vegas. The Saints have three more home games left, complete with Rams, Washington, and Vegas. That's a lot.
Let me get through next week. What you're giving me is a little bit more than I can, I don't want to say process right now, but you skipped over to playoffs as far as high school playoffs, yep. 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Right.
Playoffs are going on right now as well.
Yeah, I'm at high the finals.
School. No, I know no, it, but yeah. You were talking about the finals, and yeah. I'm just like, you know, I'm processing, moving that around in my head. Yeah. You know, Saints Sunday, then you got Battle of the Bands, you got Tulane, then you got the actual game for Bayou Classic. We haven't even thrown in any of the Pelicans games
That's right.
in that schedule.
You're right.
But
that was a broad overview.
If you want and need something to do, there you go.
You do not have a problem. There's enough to do out there in this town. So I mentioned this earlier. We haven't talked about it yet. Offensive Player of the Week, Taysom Hill.
Yep.
Right? So the records just kept flying out. So now Taysom's 34 in 86 days. Now, I feel like he's a young 34. He had his mission. Before he went to BYU, so that's 2 years, no football. Didn't really play a ton, 17 and 18, as from the sense, about just, you know, body hits. He had a medical redshirt year. So the problem is that's 5 years. So he's at 29, but the abuse that he puts on his body is.
You got to probably go back to BYU.
Right, he missed a ton of time.
I
bet that was the medical redshirt year, plus all the other injuries.
All of the other injuries, and I think it was a new injury or at least aggravated something each year.
Right, exactly.
At BYU. I mean, and so he's taken a ton of hits.
Oh, my gosh.
A ton of hits. And I've tried to, hey, Taysom, you know, it's okay to go down, or it's okay for me to – live to see the next play. And like he told Jeff, I can't play like that.
Yeah, it's only one way to play. Yeah, if you try to play like that, you get hurt.
Well, not for me.
Well,
but
I mean, for him.
For him, he felt like that's just not who he is or who he wants to be as a player, which I respect. But, I mean, it's just like, I think me and you talked about it. Sometimes you just run out of words and you just want to watch.
Yeah. Believe me, I've been listening to the broadcast from the other day. I was watching. Like, a guy wrote me, he goes, dude, you got to finish the play. And I was like, he was right. I apologize to him.
But do you see what this young man is doing?
He goes, I can't, it's radio.
And this is, that's the problem as well. I can't. I want you to talk about it. But I don't know if I can describe it the right way that it deserves to be talked about. That's where you're almost in awe, because it is truly a player from Friday night football playing against other players.
Right.
And it's just like, yep, I'm going to play offense, I'm going to play defense, I'm going to play special teams. And guess what? I am going to be just as good as any other player out on the field every time. Like, what do you mean? I may not be the best player on the field, but when I touch the ball or when I'm out on the field, I'm very close.
So I started this because I don't when I say he's 34 in 86 days, he's a kid to me. He's young. But in the NFL, his 75-yarder, for anybody in the NFL his age or older, that is the longest run in the history of the NFL. The next closest is 54 yards by Ollie Mattson in 2018. So here's the clincher. His 33-yard run is tied for seventh. Like, that 33-yard, his other touchdown on Sunday is tied for seventh. He has two of the longest touchdown runs for anybody that's 34 years or older in 86 days.
It just, normally you don't get to play at that age.
Right.
And you don't get to play because most of the times you've slowed down.
Right. So here's the last. He has 44 career touchdowns. He's ninth place all time Saints history. By the way, thanks to Drew Poche for these notes. He's a huge help. So 44 career touchdowns, ninth on the Saints history. 35 of his 44 since he turned 30. See? I mean, it's like, what? Unbelievable.
when you normally are kicked out the door, he's gotten better.
And I was talking to Jeff Ireland and Mike Ball, who's an NFL scout, mm-hmm. national scout, and he says, hey, I'm covering somebody that might be like the next Taysom. He wouldn't tell me, but he's Big 12, SEC, ACC, and I was like, good Lord. He like teased me twice, so I was like, wow, that's impressive. And I said, I want no bulletin board material, but I can assure you, I've talked to many people and done many shows, Green Bay people and the Packer fans have not forgotten them letting him go in 2017.
But they didn't want him.
I know. But it's easy to say now, right? Oh, my God, what were you doing? How were you thinking? You put him on the waiver wire.
You weren't going to use him in that way anyway.
I don't think anybody knew they could.
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
Even when they talked Mike Ball, they said, what if we put him on kickoff return? And at the time, he was a quarterback. I said, well, I don't know, man. I guess we never thought about putting our quarterback on the kickoff return. Mike Westhoff, he said, well, he could be the protector. And then, boom, there you go. That's how it started.
And once you see him as a protector, it's like, wait, he's actually just a football player. He's a quarterback, but he's a football player that can do a lot of other things.
And that's one thing we've not talked about or haven't changed. He's come close to blocking a punt this year maybe 3 or 4 times.
Well, he's blocked one before.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, of all the things.
Right.
But he's, you know, that's another one. He's come close to.
Well, the hat trick, and he doesn't do punts. But the hat tricks is a kickoff return. I mean, he had the 40-yarder.
Yeah, 42, longest of the season.
Yeah, but the hat trick of all things is to
pass,
return it.
Pass, receiving.
Yeah.
Wait, that would be 4. Pass, receiving, rushing, kickoff return.
And a kickoff return.
Unbelievable. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, just one more block until we get back with the Pelicans or Brian Kelly. Your choice. We're back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Just a few more minutes left tonight, and I always like to finish the show making you uncomfortable, and I'm going to make you uncomfortable because I know you hate talking about yourself. What you doing this week? What's the Thanksgiving plans?
Oh, Thanksgiving or this weekend? Thanksgiving, we were going up to Mississippi. You heard the key word, were. We will be here now in New Orleans. The kids kind of run the house, and so my wife,
welcome to my world.
Yeah, she does as well, but it's really them that kind of run things, and so they want to hang here in New Orleans, so we'll be here and may try to catch the Tulane game. And, you know, for me, I want to know how cold it's going to be. Before I go in those elements, but you know, just to be around family and friends, that's really what I got this week. And yourself?
But you're gonna be in basketball gyms all weekend.
Oh, now this weekend you can find me at the local rec center or Lario Center or one of the three at one of, you know, some local high school gyms. And I know the season has kicked off for a lot of teams, and so that's where I will be at. I was hoping to go up and see the. And you probably remember the Soul Bowl. I was trying to go up to the Soul Bowl, and
it's Alcorn Jackson?
And Jackson State.
Yeah.
And so my nephew is one of the quarterbacks there, and I was trying to go see them. And all of a sudden, Dad, I got a game and I got a preseason tournament. I was like, "What are you talking about? What do you mean?" You
know, tell them what time.
Yeah, and so be at the gym at 7:30 promptly. And so wait, you mean 7:30 at night? No. 7:30 a.m.
For a game at 8. Good gosh, yeah. Man. And them kids can't drink coffee either. That's
they
tough.
Can't drink coffee, but I can.
Well, I will see you probably. If I don't, have a great Thanksgiving. Same to you, Charlie. Thanks for all of your help and helping me out, telling me maybe whatever some of the answers to Deuce's quizzes are. hey, everybody have a safe Thanksgiving. Saints are off, but of course, Tulane on Thursday. I hope all of your teams out there win, and we'll be talking to you soon. The Saints, the Rams next Sunday. Thanks for listening.